You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Trump called on Democrats yesterday to return from their vacations and address a surge in illegal crossings at the southern border that the Trump administration says has become a crisis. You can join in with your thoughts and questions about the president's proposal for a wall along the Mexico border and immigration policies. We're at 800-642-1234. Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin was at the border earlier this week near El Paso, Texas, and he rode along on a night patrol. He toured a processing center housing families caught crossing illegally. He chairs the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Senator Johnson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well. Before we get to the border, though, let's talk a bit about Special Counsel Robert Mueller's redacted report coming out this morning. What are you expecting here that will come out in this redacted report?
Well, I can't really predict. I'm sure we'll all be frustrated. I've read plenty of reports that have been redacted, even in a classified setting. So it'll be frustrating to go through it. But I think the redactions that the Attorney General is talking about, keeping grand jury testimony private, classified information, information related to other ongoing investigations, then finally, not revealing anything about peripheral individuals to the investigation is probably going to be appropriate, but that doesn't mean it won't be frustrating trying to read through it and try and interpret exactly what all's being revealed.
You've told the MacIver Institute before you thought the Mueller probe has been an enormous political distraction to taxpayers. Will today's release of the report on the 2016 Russia probe put it to rest for the American people, put it to rest for you?
Probably not. I'll be interested to see whether the special counsel really delved into exactly what drove the behavior of the FBI, the intelligence community, the Department of Justice, in terms of why they even initiate this investigation. Was it strictly on the flimsy basis of the Steele dossier, which was paid for by a political research organization, paid for by the Democrat Party? We'll see whether the American people get the full information here. I kind of doubt they will. It's one of the reasons I never really supported a special counsel being appointed right up front. I think that should have been the last step in the process. We should have concluded congressional investigations, which are always hampered when there's an ongoing criminal investigation. Those congressional investigations should have issued their reports. That would have been designed to make all the information public. Then, had there been cause to refer for criminal matters, individuals to the Justice Department could have been referred to the Justice Department. If there was a need for a special counsel, then you'd appoint a special counsel. So I think we just jumped to the special counsel way too soon. Now it's 2 years later, and we still don't have all the answers, and probably won't by the end of the day.
We had Democratic Representative Mark Pocan on our program yesterday, and he said that if the report is too heavily redacted, he'll fight it because he thinks Americans deserve to see as much information as possible around Russian interference in the 2016 election. How would you respond to Democrats?
Well, first of all, I think we pretty well know what the Russians did. We should be concerned. Their use of, in particular, social media, the illegal hacking into any emails account, it's obviously a crime, which is why Special Counsel Mueller has indicted so many foreign national Russians that are now residing in Russia. They'll never be brought to American justice. The good news when it comes to interference in our election is it's almost impossible to change vote totals. Other than with corruption potentially right on the ground if you don't have proper controls. A little more likely that you might be able to get into voter files, but there should be plenty of controls. And when people are made aware of the fact that people are attempting to do it, you can defend your voter files. The more difficult subject is really social media. It's a whole new world with the technology we're dealing with now in the age of the Internet. And social media, and it's going to be very difficult to police it. So Americans have to be discerning in what they're reading and take often most things with a very large grain of salt. That's just the world we live in today.
Talking with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, let's head to the border. You were just in El Paso in the last couple days. What was it like there? What did people you spoke with have to say?
So it was very interesting. We've been holding hearings on border security or some aspects of the immigration system for over 4 years now, over 30 hearings. So what I really want to do is I want to just trace the whole process through from I even hate to call it apprehension, because these individuals are turning themselves in very close to the processing centers to the point where they just walk across the Rio Grande, which they don't even get their feet wet because it's just a trickle in El Paso, and they walk right into the processing station. They're processed very quickly in the first station, probably just an overnight stay. They're bussed out to another Border Patrol station to complete the documentation. Then they're bussed back to be turned over to ICE ERO. And then once ICE, the final area of DHS, completes the total documentation, and they're in their alien file is what it's called, then they're turned over to non-government groups like the Annunciation House or churches, who connect them with their relatives. A lot of these folks have relatives from the Central American Civil Wars back in the 80s, and they buy them a bus ticket or plane ticket, and that's the last we ever see or hear of these individuals. And there's about 900,000 individuals that have come to this country illegally as either unaccompanied child, but primarily as the members of a family unit since 2012.
So you...
900,000, and it's a growing crisis. So last month, probably about 65,000 alone.
You've said that the migrant crisis is out of control, and you said it's an achievable goal to reduce the number of people crossing the border illegally. So what steps should Congress take to achieve that goal?
There has to be a consequence. The ball is clearly in Congress's court. The president can't fix this. We have to change laws. And we have to take a look at what Michael Chertoff did when we had a surge of Brazilians coming to this country illegally through Mexico in 2005. He initiated a process of expedited removal for those that did not have a valid asylum claim. That's an important distinction to make. For those that did not have a valid asylum claim, and coming here for work is not a valid asylum claim, he initiated a policy, they call it Texas Hold'em, of expedited removal. It reduced the flow from 2005, it was 31,000, the following year is 1,400. Reduced the flow by 60% the first month, 90% the second month. So you need that consequence. So what I am suggesting is we pass a law that first and foremost makes that initial determination of the validity of asylum claim very fast, but very accurately. You know, right now, only about 15% of asylum claims are ruled valid. That's really too low an initial bar. I'm not talking about changing the asylum standard. I'm just saying that initial evaluation needs to be more accurate.
But some
and
people...
those that clearly don't have a valid asylum claim, we'll still have them in custody so that we can actually remove them to the home country. Once we do that, people will not risk a half year or a year's worth of salary, mortgage their homes to come to America, because they're just going to be returned. That's the kind of deterrent we need, to be very humane. There's no family separations.
But Senator,
what we need to do to get control of the situation.
But Senator, some people have argued that this will discourage people from fleeing violence, from seeking asylum or from leaving dangerous situations. Does that concern you?
No, because if you have a valid asylum claim, you will be welcomed into this country. And a valid asylum claim is very specific. You have to be persecuted either by your government, or the government can do nothing to protect you from persecution on five very specific areas of persecution, sexual orientation, religion. Don't have the other ones off the top of my head, but asylum standard would not change whatsoever. So if you have a valid asylum claim, you'd still be able to get to America, and you'd be able to, go through that process. The problem is, and again, I was talking to the migrants. They're very open. Not one of them really claimed fear of persecution. They all had somebody here, or like, again, a relative, possibly from the 80s. They had jobs lined up. They're coming here for a job. And listen, I'm highly sympathetic. I really am. But that's not fair to the people that are waiting to get in this country through the legal process. These folks are jumping through the line. And by the way, if you're concerned about your American wages being depressed, it's people in this country illegally that can be abused by employers, not paid prevailing wages, not getting the types of benefits, not being able to enforce their worker rights. That is what harms American workers, people that have come into this country illegally and that are working. And by the way, even when you have an asylum claim, 85% are not ruled valid. You get a worker's permit after 6 months. We are incentivizing and rewarding people to come to this country illegally. It is an insane policy, and it has to end.
Let's talk for a moment tariffs. President Trump has said he'll impose a 25% tariff on cars made in Mexico shipped to the U.S. if Mexico doesn't help stem the flow of migrants. Do you agree with that policy, considering that it may undermine the pending trade deal between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada?
I'm not a fan of tariffs. Tariffs are just a tax on American consumers. I understand the president is trying to use tariffs as leverage in negotiations. I think that's exactly what he's trying to do here. He's trying to get Mexico and Central American government's attention to help us reduce this flow, which, again, should be the achievable goal of our policy. I mean, a lot of Democrats say we need to pour billions into Central America. Well, as long as Americans have this insatiable demand for drugs that have given rise to drug cartels, which are also part of the human trafficking organization, control the governments in Central America to a certain extent, certainly destroy their public institutions, we do bear responsibility, but we're not going to fix that anytime soon as long as we have this insatiable demand for drugs. So that might be a long-term solution, but I mean really long-term. We have a problem in the here and now. When you have 100,000 people crossing the border on a monthly basis, 700 people alone per day in El Paso, where we should have 28 Border Patrol on the border, we only have two and three because the others are processing family units. So this is this risks national security. If you're concerned about
Senator Johnson, we have to stop there. Thank you so much for joining us.
This country to our poor southern.
That was Ron Johnson, a Republican U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. He chairs the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Coming up, we talk about how diversity promotes equity in school as Wisconsin looks for ways to recruit more teachers of color for the classroom. That conversation after a news update here on the Ideas Network.